Okay. Good morning. We have this morning with us the chair of this year's Commission on Sustainable Development, His Excellency Luis Alberto Ferrate Felice, the Minister of Environment and Natural Resources of Guatemala, and Mr. Tariq Benouri, the Director of the Sustainable Development Division of the United Nations Department of Economic and Social Affairs. They will be talking about the work of the current session of the commission, which deals with materials, resources, and how we use them. Mr. Chair?
Okay, thank you, and good morning. On last Monday, May 3rd, the Commission on Sustainable Development started a new two-year cycle reviewing five sustainable development themes: mining, chemicals, transport, the 10-year framework of programs on sustainable consumption and production, and waste management. These five themes come together to form what we call the material cycle, that starts with the excavation of minerals and other natural resources to their transformation into goods and services to their final processing and recycling as wastes. The central question of the Commission, and for which we hope next year's session will provide some definitely policy responses, is how to achieve green and equitable growth and development for a growing population through better management of materials through their life cycle. More specifically, how can we decouple growth and development from resource use? Quite simple. The world is consuming too much energy and materials. Certainly, overconsumption occurs largely in the developed world and parts of the emerging and developing world. But at the same time, over a billion people suffer from underconsumption, including of basic necessities as food, water, and shelter. Here is an example of the inequality in consumption. The 20% of the population in the highest income countries accounted for 77% of the total private consumption in 2005, while the poorest 20% accounted only for 1.3%. This CSD cycle must address both over, under, and under consumption around the world. What can the CSD do about this? The first task before CSD 18 is to assess where we are today, identify what has been done, and where action is still needed, not only the five themes of the cycle, but also in a range of cross-cutting issues. CSD does this against the broad-based, multi-sectoral backdrop of Agenda 21 and the Johannesburg Plan of Implementation, rather than through an exclusive environmental or economic or social sector lens. CSD combines all these lenses in a single wide-angle prism. Other specific issues, such as biofuels, the green economy, or payment from ecosystem services, CSD allows consensus outcomes to be woven out of the threads of diverse positions. No other forum integrates economic, social, and environmental dimensions of the material cycles from such a range of countries and major groups as does CSD. Of course, many concrete challenges remain. The volume of municipal solid waste in 2006 is estimated to be 2 billion tons globally, and is currently increasing by 8% per year. Another example, worldwide, an estimated 1.5 1.2 million people are killed, and as many as 50 million are injured in road accidents each year. When it comes to chemical management, we know now that babies are coming into this world with over 200 toxic chemicals in their blood. At the same time, there are many achievements in these five sustainable development themes. The Montreal Protocol has been ratified all United Nations member states. More and more consumers take environmental and social issues into account in their consumption decisions. Several, four countries have pledged carbon neutrality. To build upon these successes, CSD will help mobilize the political will and form partnerships needed to accelerate the implementation of decisions. The high-level segment of next week is intended precisely to build such political will. Minister, who will attend a whole range of portfolios, including the environmental, development, finance, agriculture, mining, and transport. Such heterogeneity of portfolios embodies the very spirit of sustainable development. That is the economic, social, and environmental considerations. Thank you.
Should we go straight to questions? Yeah. Any questions for the chair? Nate?
I was wondering if you could sort of give a little bit more detail of what's going to happen in the high-level segment, who's coming, with what high-profile names, if any, and if any of that outcome is going to feed into the climate change negotiations. And also, I have a question for Mr. Ben-Uri, if he could maybe confirm whether or not you're still on the list of candidates to head the UNFCCC offices, and if so, how would you use your office to move the negotiations forward? What plans are, you know, that you might have?
Okay, all the ministers have received an invitation to come and to participate in CSD 18th. A lot of them are coming, and every country has prepared a national evaluation with the five themes. This will lead to a very political-oriented discussion. We feel, or at least I feel, that there are some themes that are going to be easy to deal with, like transport and solid waste management. Others are going to be very difficult to discuss, like mining, sustainable production and consumption, and probably chemicals. This is due to some problems that the smaller countries, the less developed countries, are facing with transnational investments in their countries that they don't respect culture, or they are extracting in a very intense way minerals and especially precious metals. But looking from above, out of that smaller problems, we see a very successful meetings that we are going to come to agreements, and we are going to set the basis for political decision next year in CSD 19.
I haven't seen the latest list of the ministers. Last I remember, which was about a week ago, it was over 30. I don't know exactly how many there are at this moment, but we only get the confirmations that as the time grows near because of the commitments of the
of the ministers. I think the chair has answered a number of the questions. This is a review year to prepare the ground for a decision that will be taken next year. Here, I think a lot of it is purpose is to understand where there are areas of agreement which go beyond earlier decisions, where there are uncertainties, you know, lack of, you know, different perceptions of different issues, and even the ones where there are basic disagreements, and to find ways in which we can have a process which begins to address them so that we have a very strong decision next year. So that's more or less how we plan to go. The question you asked about climate change in particular, I'm not going to say anything about my candidacy. It's easy to answer, but let's do it at another forum. But the on climate change, one important thing which CSD has constantly said is that these things should be addressed in an integrated manner by bringing climate, development, environment, social aspects together. And there are ways of policy analysis and policy integration that have come out of the CSD that can be helpful in that regard. In this cycle, two issues are of particular importance. One is the transport, on which, as you know, contributes roughly 40% of the greenhouse gas emissions, and a number of best practices on low-carbon, sustainable transport systems that are affordable, even in poor countries, and that can be expanded with national policies and international support, are already under discussion, and we look forward to the decisions on those which can move this agenda forward, and I think that can feed very easily into some of the processes. The other one is sustainable consumption and production, the 10-year framework of programs. A lot of work has taken place, some in this area, but I mean under specific task forces. But the main idea of sustainable consumption and production is that it actually builds upon the willingness of consumers or purchasers to do the right thing, and basically ask what policies, institutions, incentives are needed to do that. And that also is a very important input that can be provided into the climate process, because this is a way in which we can break through some of the barriers that are there. So there are two areas that are of particular relevance. I mean, the others have indirect relevance, as I mentioned.
Multilateral environmental agreements up for review as to far as like how well they're being adhered to, like for instance the Basel Convention or the like migratory species or whatnot.
For instance, I didn't get the for instance.
For instance, the Basel Convention in particular, but there's some concerns that electronic waste exports is a violation of that, and there's other like multilateral environmental agreements that are being reviewed and sort of assessed as to how well governments are actually adhering to the terms.
as you know, I mean, the chemicals area is one in which, in some ways, a lot of the international policy making has advanced quite well. The SICEM process, which was started under Johannesburg, has actually framed it in a rather defensible manner. The second thing I also want to say is that if you look at the development of chemicals legislation before Rio and after Rio, there is a significant change, because before Rio, it was focused very much on control and banning of this thing. And after Rio, the focus shifted on sound management and those concepts, you know, including prior informed consents and so on. And those principles have now been enshrined into the system. Now, what we have seen is that both the international framework and the functioning of the conventions in terms of international agreements is on very sound footing. But progress has been slow, and the slowness of the progress pertains specifically to what might be said are the sustainable development dimensions, because a lot of the slowness of progress has to deal with lack of capacity, institutional capacity, technical capacity, lack of human resource capacity, both to use this knowledge and to absorb this knowledge and to use it very well. So the questions really before us are not so much to rethink the entire framework, which I think is a very sound one, but to ask how the sustainable dimension, development dimension can be accelerated, and particularly some of those capacity issues can come up. Now, the electronic waste issue that you raised is very much on the agenda. I mean, you know, it's something that has been coming up quite significantly. In part, it is related to the Basel Convention, but in part, it is also related generally to a number of the other processes in place with deal with waste and informed consent and matters of that nature. Now, what we are trying to do is to understand what can be a decent policy response for this. One of the ways in which I think the information seems to be coming is that building that technical capacity so that prior informed consent can become more effective is a very important and urgent agenda item. So it's quite possible that CSD 19 takes that as kind of a central feature and says this should be accelerated, you know, fast-tracked, because this is, in some sense, the obstacle to something which is otherwise a decent agreement. You know, so once we can begin to put those capacities in place, then the other things which we have already set up can begin to feed into that. If we don't set them up, then the law basically remains in letter and not in spirit. So these are some of the issues that are already being discussed quite actively, and we hope that some decisions would be reached on them.
I will add something. In the case of my country, Guatemala, we are applying the Basilea Convention quite strongly. And we are avoiding a lot of chemicals and a lot of scratch that comes with the drug inside. And we have legislation, we have institutions, and we have the will to stop it, and the Basilea Convention is supporting us a lot. It's very risky because there is a link, at least in my country, between drug trafficking and scrap and metal scraps, and we are fighting both. No scrap can come to Guatemala anymore.
Yes.
Mr. Benali, particularly on the second factor of the most important agendas for the work. Okay, do you hear me now? I have a question on the second area of the efforts mentioned just now, which is the sustainable consumption as well as production. See, my question is particularly related to the pharmaceutical products, the drugs. For example, those are for cancer treatment. You know, within this country and many countries in this world, there is not an effective mechanism of taking back the residue when it's not totally used or consumed by the patient. Although in countries like this, probably some of the pharmaceutical manufacturers do organize a system to mail them back free of charge. But in the case of the pharmaceuticals is produced in an advanced country like this, shipped to a less developed or least developed countries, there is no such mechanism at all. So my question is, besides the public arena arrangement of policy making, do you plan to reach out to the private sector to address this issue? Because the water is the most important factor for sustainable development. Thank you.
Well, this actually pertains to three areas which are with the CSD this year. This is a question that has come up in the chemicals domain. As part of the sound management of chemicals, you know, this issue of disposal at the end, I mean, it's not only the use, so that to protect people's health and the ecosystem, but also how does it get disposed at the end is an institutional issue. And so the question of, you know, whether the private sector can be charged with doing it or whether there are other mechanisms to do it is very much on the agenda. And at the end of the day, it does depend upon institutional capacity, affordability, you know, those questions. The second one is that even in waste management, this is a part of the discussion. In waste management, a lot of the hazardous waste overlaps with the chemicals. And again, it's the same problem. Now, there, people have tried to use this circular economy, the 3 R's approach, as a way of operationalizing this. That does require the same thing. It requires capacity, technical, institutional, and human capacity. It also requires other resources because, you know, I mean, energy, for instance, is a very important input into it. And so we are trying to understand how the 3R process can be helpful. Finally, in sustainable consumption and production is a rather innovative idea because what it does is that it actually shows you the whole link from beginning to end and basically says if you're concerned about the end, what can you do along the entire chain? You know, and so it enables us to actually find policies and institutional mechanisms that can deal with it. The results would be the same because as it pertains to chemicals, SCP will give you the same results that the chemicals are giving. When it pertains to waste, it will give you the same results that the waste management system is giving. But it's a framework that enables you to see all of those links. Now, I mean, when I look forward to what is going to happen in CSD 19, I cannot say that this decision will take place in this forum or in that forum because this issue is something that combines all three forums. I do think that some of the best practices we have, we can build upon them and we can find some way in which countries can agree on supporting and expanding those best practices. We do understand the gaps, particularly the institutional other gaps, and you know, our expectation is that some agreement would be found to fill those gaps and, you know, provide the necessary support and other things that would be needed. And we also have some understanding of the combination of private sector and public sector activities that can work, how that can be complemented. And the agreements then can sort of, you know, formalize it, can take place. At this moment, I'm quite sure that we will make some progress next year on this. Whether it will be this or that, I cannot say. But I'm rather confident that this is an issue that the delegations have sort of gotten their teeth into quite strongly.
I want to add some real facts. I mean, at least in Latin America, we don't allow these leftovers of treatments to come to our countries. But the local ones, we have the capacity to incinerate them. And we also are creating with the cement factories the capacity to incinerate some problem that we have all over Latin America that are all pesticides, like DDT. And we are in the process of cleaning in that problem that is by far larger than the one that you mentioned.
Other questions? Okay, well then, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.